Hey, Men of Valor, welcome back to the Men of Valor podcast. So good to have all of you guys join us each and every week. And man, we're just pumped that you are here today. Man, I got a special guest joining me here. To some of you, he's not going to be a stranger. He's been part of Men of Valor Conference for the past couple of years. He's joined us on Man Up Monday. But for some of you, I know, man, he may be brand new to you. But man, he's been a great friend of mine over the past couple of years. We just get to know each other. And that's my good buddy, all the way down from Ocilla, Georgia, from Satilla Baptist Church, my good buddy, Kenny Sexton. Kenny, man, how are you today, my brother?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
Awesome, brother. Well, man, I want to thank you for jumping on. As this month, we're jumping into a new topic. And we'll talk about that after the break. But Kenny, for the guys that may not know you or may know a little bit about you, why don't you just take a couple minutes before we jump into today's topic and just share a little bit with our men about, man, who is Kenny Sexton, so they kind of know who's going to be talking to them today.
Well, again, my name is Kenny Sexton. I grew up in North Georgia, so I grew up in that Gainesville, that Oakwood area is where I grew up. I was saved at a young age at six, felt called in the ministry when I was 15. Left, went off to college, got married. During that time, we finally surrendered our call to the ministry. Took about 10 years to get to that point, but I was a band director back in the day and went off to seminary. And so I have a wife, her name's Gina. We'll be married 32 years. So man, that's been a long time. So she gets the award for staying with me that long. We have three great kids and six grandchildren at this point. So our oldest daughter, her husband is in the ministry. He's a pastor. They're in South Carolina. My youngest, he's our son. They have one child, and they're in Kentucky around the Lexington area. But yeah, my oldest daughter, she has four children. Son has one, and then my middle daughter just had her first baby, which we were just pleased and overjoyed with in January. So we went to go see her. But they live in Germany. So, man, they're spread out all over the place, but that's really who we are. 32 years married. My wife's name's Gina. So she's, man, she's just been the staple. She's been it in the family. So everybody loves my wife, and all the grandkids love her as well. And, but yeah, we're just having a great time this season of life that we're in to go travel, see kids and see grandkids. But, we've been the pastor at Satilla for the past, this is going on number four. You're number four for us. Been in the ministry for, man, a long time. I was a band director for a couple of years, then went off to seminary, been in ministry ever since then. Been in second chair roles pretty much the whole time until 4 years ago, till God called me to this church and at Satilla and became pastor there. And so we've just been looking at discipleship and looking at missions. And so that's a little bit about me.
Awesome, man. Awesome. So I've been down there. You talk about, everybody talks about Lula being out in the middle of nowhere. Now you go down to Satilla, folks, I want to tell you, they literally out in the middle of nowhere. Got the opportunity to go down there and preach for Kenny a couple of years ago. And man, I didn't think we was ever going to get there, but we finally got there. But man, doing a great work down there. Just in the midst of those folks out there, country land, as far as you can see, man.
Well, Eric, one of our state leaders says, "Hey, listen, in order to get to Kenny's church, you got to get lost to get there." That's what they said, right? Got to get lost to get there. Yeah,
I can believe it, and it wouldn't be hard to do. It wouldn't be hard to do if it wasn't for GPS. I don't know if we'd ever got down to you back then, man. So, well, thanks once again for joining me today, and thanks for sharing with you, man. You've become a dear brother to me just over the past couple of years that we've got to know each other. It was a God ordained thing, and then once we got to know each other digitally, we was like, oh man, well, some of the people Kenny grew up with actually go to Liberty with me. So it's just a small world, how God connects everything together. So, hey, before we jump in, I do want to ask you, since you have been part of Men of Valor Conference over the past couple of years, man, we know it's coming up in just a few months, August 22nd, 23rd, 24th. So, man, just from a being there and a being a part of it, would you take just a minute and share, if there's a guy listening that's like, man, I'm thinking about coming to Men of Valor Conference, man, I'd love to hear it. Now, this is me throwing Kenny off cuff. All right. I didn't tell him I was going to ask him this question. So this is totally going to be straight off the cuff. But, man, what would you say from your experience over the past couple of years being there in person, that you would encourage a guy that maybe right on the cuff, he's thinking about coming, maybe not, he don't know if it's going to be worth his time to drive, to fly in. What would you say to that guy that maybe listening to that, Kenny?
I would say today, get the ticket, book your flight, clean off the calendar, and make your way there. And I say that because I've been, listen, I was at Expo just a few weeks ago down in, Orlando, Florida, thousands, 7,000 people there. I've been to some other men's conferences, and, Eric, you and I, we've been to Johnny Hunt's men's conference as well, plenty of those. I would say this unequivocally that this is one of the most meaningful, impactful kind of weekends or couple of days of a men's conference that anybody, if you're on the fence, jump off the fence and just commit, because I've seen God do some things in men's lives like I've not seen any other place. And getting to have those one-on-one conversations, or just the people that's on the panel, the people that's on the stage, just being able to be real with people, just ordinary Joe over here, let's talk. Hey, pray. Hey, would you pray for me? It's just, you have that one-on-one connection with people. And I would say, you just don't even, I mean, I know you've prayed about it, otherwise you'll be on the fence. Just commit to be there, because I'll say this, I've just seen men's lives radically transformed, and the connections be made to where you're still getting texts and phone calls from men that you've been able to talk to and connect with, that you won't get any other way. Be there. Just don't miss it. Don't miss it.
Yeah, man. Hey, thank you so much. I know that true from your heart. Like I said, I threw that to your curveball, but man, guys hear it from us and they think, well, yeah, y'all, of course, y'all going to say that. God's, that's y'all's ministry that God gave you. But man, we've heard it so many times. I think of one guy, and I know you'll know the guy that, man, last year, if you don't know, Kenny had a stroke just a little while before the conference last year. And Kenny got to come up there and he wanted to do the 5K. And I know he got to know Mr. Greg Williams. On that run, and I still see you and Greg on Facebook, man. I'll see y'all commenting on each other's stuff and just bonded right there, just encouraging one another during that 5K. So and started building brotherhood. So yeah, man. So
That's
guys,
right.
if you can be there, we want to encourage you to be there. Black Mountain, North Carolina, up at the Ridgecrest Conference Center, August 22nd, 23rd, 24th. You can find all about that at our website, movministries.org. All right, guys. So we're going to go ahead and hit our break right here, and then we're going to come back. We're going to introduce our topic for the month, and then we're going to jump into the topic me and Kenny is going to be jumping into today. So, hey, we got nothing left to do, but let's get after it.
This is the Men of Valor podcast. We exist to help men grow as disciples of Jesus.
Welcome to season two. We're glad you're here.
Let me tell you, I once was a sinner, but I am no longer a sinner. I am a saint. I am a son of the living God Most High.
Go home, embrace your wife with no expectations, and tell her that you love her. And ask her, how can I lead you? Tell me what you need. Be transparent, be open, be honest.
But if we arm ourselves and we never use what we have, that's useless.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Here are your hosts, Travis Watson, Eric Stewart, Jordan Loggins, and Randall Ballou. Let's get after it.
All right, guys, so we're just going to dive right in. So new month for us, April 2024. And this month, we're going to be looking at the topic of emotional warfare. And today, me and Kenny have the task of dealing with one, I would say, probably every man that's listening to this right now, that in some form that you deal with this, or if you dealt with this, and it's the emotional warfare of dealing with anger. Man, I'm blessed. I'm not a real angry person, but let me just be real. There are times that I can get angry and I can go off the handle and I have to apologize because I'll say things that I don't mean. So, but I know there's a lot of men that deal with it a whole lot worse than me. But Kenny, when we're thinking about this emotional warfare and dealing with anger, what's kind of the first thoughts that come to your head when you think about anger?
Well, I mean, with the walk with Christ, I kind of hear how he was angry, but he didn't sin. Okay. And then if I have to look at that and go, okay, that was the Christ-like behavior. He had that emotion.
Yeah.
But then I look at myself and I look at other men, I look at other people, I look at humans in general, and I look at anger, and boy, there's a fine line right there. Is it sin or is it not sin? And most of the time we can't be angry without sinning.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so, I mean, like you just said just a second ago, I've got to go back and apologize to people and whatever. So if I were to put some, just kind of some word pictures or paintings up there, man, anger for me can kind of, you can think of a volcano. Okay. Destruction.
Yeah.
Aftermath. Right. You start looking at, I mean, shrapnel can be one of those things. I mean, the power of the tongue. Right. So there's just something that's in there that, but what you can just put a whole bunch of different words up there about anger. That's not healthy. Not healthy. Right.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, you know, think of anger, right when they think of it, they think of anger is a sin. But yeah. I don't think it is, because Jesus got angry, right? The temple. I mean, right. Holy Week. We just went into Holy Week, and
that's right.
You know, and I guess talked about a lot when he went to the temple and he was angry. But it's not a sin, just like temptation, right? Temptation is not a sin to be tempted, but I think it's what we do with that emotion. It is an emotion. Because how many times, you know, in scripture, you know, Kenny, I start thinking about Old Testament. How many times do we see God get angry with the Israelites? I mean, a couple of times he's ready just to swipe them off and be done. So I just want to tell you, sir, if you're here and you say, man, that's what I deal with, being angry is not a sin, but how you react when you get angry is what can lead you into that sin. Man, so many times, I mean, we see it right in Ephesians 4:26 and 27. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And don't give the devil an opportunity.
That's right.
Paul, right in the church of Ephesus, he's telling us, hey, that you can be angry, but don't sin when you do it. You know, that, hey, don't let that hang around. Because this is what I believe he's saying, Kenny. You let that anger hang around a little while, you're opening up the door for Satan just to, man, come in with destruction and do things that only he can do. So it's how we handle it, that can be a big thing. A couple other things, just to throw a couple of verses of scripture out there, Kenny, that the Bible says about anger, because we always want to take things back to scripture. What does scripture say about it, not what do I think? Some more verses right after that, Ephesians 4:31-32 says, let all bitterness, anger, and wrath, shouting, and slander be removed from you, along with all malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, just as God also forgave you in Christ. So once again, Paul reminded the church of Ephesus, you know, hey, that anger's there. We got to get rid of that. We got to get past it. We got to forgive one another. You can either go back, you know, in the Old Testament, the psalmist said in 37:8, refrain from anger and give up your rage. Do not be agitated. It can only bring harm. So it lets you know, man, from the get-go that it can only bring harm. So Kenny, as a pastor, man, we got two pastors here talking about this today. So as a pastor, what are some things that you have seen in men's lives over your ministry, maybe not even when you were lead pastor, but some of those other roles you've been into? I know you're part of the Bonhoeffer Project, man, some discipleship stuff. And I'm sure you've counseled as well as I have some men that dealt with this. What have you seen just in men's life? Because that's what we're doing. We're talking about men's lives. We're talking to men that you've seen come from this emotion of anger.
Well, one is I don't think they know how to channel it.
Mm.
It's a lack of understanding of how to channel it. What you just said a minute ago, I use this word. How do you harness that energy? How do you harness that anger? Right. So you set the stage very well. Anger in itself is not a sin. It's what we do with that anger, how we channel, or what we do with it that is a central side of things. So that's when we kind of get some counseling part of it, is how destructive it's causing something between a husband and a wife. It can be in their relationship with one another, or it can also be with their kids, how they're handling their kids and treating their kids.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the things that I've looked at, and it's not been healthy. Like, because usually, like, you know, as well as I do, man, when we start getting into counseling modes, man, we're really way beyond the threshold. Okay. Then that's the truth. We're way beyond the threshold of getting to where we started nipping this in the bud earlier, or getting some ways we can handle getting that done early. But it's usually way beyond that. So yeah. I've had to go in and really start working with a man to say, okay, here are some processes. Let's look at scripture. Now let's look at ways of maybe doing these things a little bit differently. So it's how do you harness it? How do you channel it? Because it is in your response, is how you live it out. And then I'll just have to say, man, personally, man, guys, hey, listen, guys, if you're struggling with anger, okay, let me be honest and brass tacks real with you today. About 20 years ago, I had to make a decision in my own life. What am I going to do with my anger? Because my anger was very real, and it was unbridled. You can only manage yourself for so long. Let me say, right? You can only, I mean, if it's behavior modification, it's only going to last so long. Let's be honest, yep. Okay? So I looked at my wife, and I said, okay, if things are going to be different, I'm going to have to do something different with what I'm dealing with, whatever the anger is inside of me, or what's triggering me, what sets me off, all these things, because, well, I know God's word. I know his word, but what does that mean for me? And I had to make, I literally had to make a pivot and say, okay, I'm going to go seek out counseling. And I'll be straight up real with you. It took 18 months, and I had to go, man, monthly go to therapy, man, to sit there with a Christian counselor to really work my way through these things. So we had to do some very real self-awareness. I mean, listen, Kenny, why does that make you so upset? Yeah. Why is that firing you off? Okay. So before I can counsel somebody else, man, I had to get a hold of what was in here. Okay. And I think what, Josh, you and I both went through Josh Smith's The Titus 10 book. And he says, you know, the first battle in every man's life is a battle with his sinful nature. And if we lose that one, we can't win any other one. Okay. So in that sinful battle of how you really do that in a sinful way of that anger, I had to go down and sit down and go, okay, help me process this. Help me recognize what are these things they're doing. And what I found out was there's a couple of triggers in my life. I mean, you know, it's everybody's got them. I mean, do you find yourself going, man, do you find yourself going down the road and you're talking to the car in front of you or the one behind you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Man, and we're speaking death to people. Like, man, I wish you'd get out. Man. I mean, we're talking all kind of stuff, but what sets you off? Because everybody's a little different. And so I found out through this process that there's something that really pushes my quote-unquote buttons.
Yeah.
Okay? My kids can push those buttons. They know they can push your buttons. They know you.
They know where that button's at.
Right. So when that button gets pushed, can I be angry and not sin? And what I recognized was mine was not bridled. I could not be angry and not sin. Mine turned to sin like that because I responded in a very unhealthy, unbiblical way. I was not modeling Christ. And so by sitting around somebody for those 18 months, I learned great, valuable lessons. God did a work. The Spirit did a work in my life. But the first thing you got to realize is, listen, if you're looking at your work, if you're looking at your house, I would say first start with your home. You want to start asking your wife, man, hey, when I get angry or I get set off, man, do you think I sin? Right? That's a pretty wide open question. But do some self-awareness at home. But then what is it like at work when something really gets pushed right there? But I think the self-awareness has to happen first, because is everybody around you, are they better or are they worse? Okay. When that time happens, are they better because you're there, or are they worse because of how you responded? And now their reactions are extremely different. But yeah. That's what I'm saying. Listen, guys, I know I had to go get help big time with the anger that was in my life, because it was given to me as far as somebody pointed that out of my life. I pushed it aside. Thank you, but no thank you. Then about 3-4 years later, I went, okay, if I don't do something about this today, and the Spirit told me, Kenny, if you don't get this under control, you're going to lose everything that you value.
Mm. Wow. Man, that's true. So Kenny, I would say this, man, and you can dig on to it. So just a God ordained thing, man, that I had you come on here, because that's part of your story that I didn't know, man. So that's just a God thing that he put you on my heart to ask if you come join me for this. So I would say for every guy out there that deals with this emotion of anger and in this warfare, that there's usually, would you agree with McKinney or not? You tell me, would you agree that there's usually something deeper?
Absolutely. There's usually
something else at the core that's causing that. It's not your bride. It's not that dude at work that you can't stand. It's not your boss. It's not your preacher at church.
there's actually
probably something deeper that you need to get to. I highly recommend. He mentioned it. I'll put it in the show notes. The Titus 10 book by Josh Smith, highly recommend that. If you can get some guys to read it with or do it by yourself, man, just some great things to help dig into what's there. It's not a book on anger, but, man, it's about foundations of godly manhood. So definitely highly recommend that book to maybe a small starting place for you. But, man, I would recommend, and Kenny, I'll get some recommendations for you on a guy that's here today that said, okay, well, where do I start then? He might be getting a little angry at me and you because we're calling this out. So where do I start? Well, man, I would say number one, go talk to your pastor. Talk to your pastor. Go talk to maybe some godly men in your life. Maybe it's not your pastor, but maybe it's your men's ministry leader or somebody in your church that you truly trust. Listen to me. That's going to give you godly, sound, biblical, godly wisdom. Not this your buddy at work, your buddy that's over there drinking on the weekends doing stuff like that, because he's just going to tell you, leave her, man, she's just being like that. That's what he's going to tell you. And he'll probably, if you're from the South, that's the voice he'll use, by the way. But I want to tell you, so find some godly counsel. And I want to say this to men, because I think a lot of times they hear therapy or they hear counseling, they're thinking, well, that's for somebody that's broken. Can I remind you that we're all broken? And man, there's nothing. God has equipped good godly Christian counselors, good godly Christian men to pour into your life that know the science behind our bodies and things. So there's nothing wrong with that. And Kenny, I want to say I'm proud of you, man, for being willing to step out and to go to that and then being able to share that with our guys today, because there's no shame in that. Because I mean, maybe we'll share here in a little bit how you can see a different you after that 18 months later, that you can see how that helped. But Kenny, so for the guy sitting here today listening to this podcast saying, okay, yes, this is something I realize there's something deeper. Maybe what some other steps that you tell him, hey, start taking these steps now. What would you say, man?
Well, first and foremost, I would say, take it to God and give it all.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know that sounds like, oh, we should know that or whatever. But listen, for some reason, you've not given it to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's the one that can restore that in your life, who can show you a better way, who is the way maker, right? He's the one. Okay. But first and foremost, go to God and lay it all down. And when you leave that prayer time, do not pick it up and take it with you. First one.
Yeah.
Secondly, you've got to get past the thing of like, well, I'm embarrassed or I'm ashamed. Okay. Put that aside, because that destruction, if it continues to follow you, it will follow you the rest of your days on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be good for you. So listen, everybody else knows that you're struggling with it. Okay. When you think, oh, that's not me, whatever. Oh, everybody knows you're struggling with it, right? They know. Yep. So don't feel guilty or ashamed. Think of that the Spirit maybe gave you that in your life to go, okay, let me give that to you. Mm-hmm. Third, just what you said is go see a pastor who you think it, go see a men's leader, maybe that's in your group, that man, another guy that you know, well, hey, this may be a 2 a.m. friend. They can just sit down and say, okay, man, I am struggling with anger, and here's what I'm sensing, or here's what I'm feeling, and here's some things that I really feel like is kind of pushing it for me, and then speaking in my life, and you're giving them, you know, that. It may be the fact that, well, I got to a place where none of that stuff was going to work for me. I needed to get somebody more on a professional level to help me deal with this emotion in my life that I really couldn't deal with. And yes, it did take 18 months, but with that specific part of it, is you may have to go there, and that's all good, because guess what? If you'll give it, let the process play itself out, work itself out, you're in the Word, man, you're putting new stuff, you're getting new handles, so to say, you're getting new rhythms, new tools in your toolbox. Guess what? You're going to be better for it. Your family's going to be better for it. Your work's going to be better for it. Church's going to be better for it. Your leadership's going to be better for it. If you get those new tools to not now be more equipped to do what you do.
Man, some good stuff. And I want to remind you guys, just like Kenny said, for him walking through that 18 months, I'm sure it's something he still processes and uses the tools that he has given to this day, more than likely. That, guys, remember, it's something we say all the time, progress by degrees. It is not going to be fixed overnight. I know that God, our God, is big enough. He can deliver just like that if he so pleases. But most of the time, God wants to take you through a process because he wants to grow you. As James tells us, man, that you count it joy as you're walking through this trial, as you're walking through this, he says, because he's growing your endurance. He's growing you as he's walking you through it. And, you know, it is going to take times. I believe that's why, you know, James says over in James 1:19-20, my dear brothers and sisters, I said this, everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And then he says this, slow to anger, for human anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. But it's that, man, we got to be slow. And that's what you'll learn through the processes and these things, how to slow it down. Before you can stop something, what do you got to do? You got to slow it down. Before you stop your car, when you're coming up to a red light, you have to slow it down before you can stop it. Because if you try to stop a car going 60 miles per hour on a dime, what you're going to hear? You're going to see smoke. You're going to hear screeching of tires. You're going to see black marks getting left down through there. I mean, it's a mess. It becomes that. But when you start slowing it down, that stopping process is so much smoother. And man, that's just illustrating just kind of my mind right there. But what happens when God tells us to slow ourselves down, to be slow to listen, to be slow to think, to be slow before we react? Man, it just makes the process so much easier. So some great wisdom. And of course, when you're giving it to God, guys, I want to challenge you before you go grab another book. Nothing wrong with books, but man, get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Maybe do, you know, a study on anger and really dig into what all God says. Man, we've just shared a few verses today. There's so many more verses in Scripture that talk about anger. And I believe it's for a reason, because God knew that men have this emotion. Jesus had this emotion. God, our Creator, had this emotion. He gave it to us, and he wants us to learn how to bridle it, how to be able to live with it in a constructive way, because there is a righteous anger that we as men of God should have, that when we see something going against God's word, when we see sin, when we see something, man, that's against what God's word says, that we should stand up in a righteous anger and do something about it in a godly way, that it should drive us to be, man, that dangerous man, that the word of God, that warrior inside of us, that should bridle us up when all of a sudden we need to stand up. Because, you know, I believe it's what we could all go back to, I believe, with this, is a fruit of the Spirit, and that's self-control. It is learning how to control it. Learning that I'm not going to be able to do away with my anger because it's a God-given emotion, mm-hmm. But how can I learn to control my anger so that I can harness it? And, you know, like a thoroughbred horse, James talks about that as well. A lot of wisdom in James. But, you know, when y'all bridle that horse, so much power. One thing, I hadn't done in a long time, but I used to, as a kid, man, I used to love to ride horses and just to feel all that power up under you and how you could just, that one little thing in its mouth, dude, and you can just control that horse when it's been broken. But what a lot of men, I think, need to do today, you need to get your anger through some of the steps Kenny has shared with us today, and you need to break that emotion of anger so that you have it under self-control and grow that fruit of the Spirit. So, Kenny, what's some other things, maybe some guys?
Let me share this out. Yeah, no, I love it. Yeah, and I love the James 1, 2 thing. One thing that I love about that verse number 2, 3 through 4 is that when you said it's you become mature, lacking nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. Consider it a great joy when you go, because you end up being mature, lacking nothing. Okay, man, I'm still working on that one. Okay, so that's great. That's great. I love that. Well, and so one of the books that I went through, there's a difference between assertiveness and aggressiveness. Okay, so we think about anger. Think about assertiveness versus aggression. Listen to the differences. Here's assertiveness: discretion regarding the necessity of anger. Aggressiveness is anger perhaps tied to unnecessary subjects. Assertiveness is an even tone of voice. Aggressiveness is pleading or coercion prioritized. You got respect consistently maintained or respect similarity disregarded. You can hear those vast distinctive differences right there. Okay. Yeah. If you just look at that, so then aggression responds to resistance with calm firmness, aggressiveness responds to resistance with harshness. Speak the truth in love. And then how do you receive that? Do you now come back with aggressiveness and harshness, or do you come back and have a calmness and go, okay, I receive it. Let me take it. One of the life verses that I took out of my entire process was Proverbs 15:1. When you said slow to anger, okay, well, here it is. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. All you got to do is watch your kids. Who's going to get the last word?
Yeah.
Right. And that's anger. And because I'm not going to go down without a fight, and I'm not going to, I mean, I'm trying to protect myself. I'm going at it. And how I respond, man, I can give a hard word, which is all it's going to do is put fuel on that fire to make it blaze. Or I can just speak a gentle word and respond very differently, and it totally snuffs it out. It takes a whole power that out of there. I was watching this at school several months ago, and there's a little spat that started coming on with these two young ladies, two high school, like, man, and one of them wasn't backing down. Well, she was coming full bore. Well, it kept escalating. I kind of just sat there, let see where it was all going. I mean, she kind of kept going. Now, next thing you know, she's starting to get very pointed and direct, and she started, you know, cursing a little bit there too. And I said, hey, time out. I said, you don't have to go to the level. But I said, let me give you this. I said, you don't have to be a believer. You don't have to know God, but whatever. Is it? But if you'll take this proverb, it'll help you in life. And I gave them this verse. And when I read the proverb, when I started proverb, I said, oh, I don't believe in God. I'm not a Christian, whatever. I said, you don't have to be. Just listen to the proverb. Okay. Because you listen to Chinese proverbs and all these others. This is a proverb out of the Bible, but just listen to it. And I read it to her. When I did that, it pulled the tension all the way down to nothing. And when I got pulled over to the side, several of the kids pulled me over the side and says, thank you so much for the wisdom you spoke. That's what taking that down, a gentle answer, that, but you keep adding on that. I would also say this, another thing I was thinking about too with this, Eric, was this. I don't know if you've ever done really some self-evaluating a little bit. I mean, I know it says to examine yourself. I mean, it is biblical, man. Examine yourself, right? So before we even take communion, man, examine yourself, right? But there's something too about self-examination for yourself that if you really just sit and start thinking, not because you're trying to beat yourself up, but you also got to think about this. Where in your life have you been wounded? Okay?
Yeah.
The sinfulness or the brokenness, whatever's happened to you, or wherever that wound has been embedded into your life that you've not really dealt with can also come out and bubbles up in anger somewhere. You've got to have the self-reflection though to figure out, okay, where have I been wounded? It could be a mom or a dad. And I'm not even talking about physically stuff. I'm just talking about maybe emotionally stuff. Yeah. We're talking about the emotional stuff today. What's been said that's wounded you? Okay. What's that now in return when something's said, it's that. Okay. You said something a minute ago about realizing, hey, this is not your pastor. This is not your wife. This is not your kids or whatever else. I'll suggest that these are old books, but man, hey, Authentic Manhood, the 33 series, and there's one that talks about wounds, and there's one pastor that was in there, and something just, man, made him go off with his wife, and he knew he was wrong, and so what he realized was his mom growing up just put him down, just kind of held him down, and so every time the wife would say something, and finally when she said it one more time, he went off. But in that interview, here's what he said. He said, "Honey, I didn't hear a word you said, because all I could hear was my mama's words saying this to me over and over and over and over. And so when I went off, that was my mom's words." So you got to also realize that wounds that are not dealt with will percolate up into your life, and it'll go sideways in a heartbeat. So now go back. What are some things that really you can think of? Because you'll know some things right off the bat. Has your mom or has your dad said something to you that really meant, I mean, like got embedded, man, hey, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never. No, that's a lie. Life from the enemy. Okay. Hey, listen, and I say this recently too. Hey, fellas, listen. I've got the full armor of God on my body, but man, sometimes I've also got attached my bulletproof vest on. I mean, listen, I got the armor on, but man, I'm not bulletproof.
Yeah.
Okay. And I love how I heard this the other day, and this did this linger said, so people in church, like you think about Moses. Moses went to war with a people group one time, but he was in war with a people group for 40 years.
Yeah.
He had to put his battle armor on one time, but he had to put his bulletproof vest on every single day when he went out to people. There's something to that. But hey, are your words, is your anger doing that as well? And you got to really step. So I say wounds is a huge thing that I don't think guys really give a crap, because here's the deal. We think we can compartmentalize, stick in the back of our brain, let it go, close the door, and it won't ever do anything again.
Yeah.
False. That's fake news. Don't buy into that. Or we think that if we'll just suppress it long enough. But the truth is there are some deep wounds, and there's some deep fears. As this other pastor gave this great analogy, have you ever been to a manhole cover? And you lift that manhole cover up to see where that place is going. To face all of this stuff in his life, he said, it was like this. It felt like I was going to lift off this manhole cover and it was going to suck me down into the abyss. But he said, I only realized it when I opened the manhole cover and gave it to God and worked my way through it, that he put me on the other side of the river in a beautiful plush land that was great. When you don't deal with it, you're end up in the abyss. So, but again, all that to say, man, wounds are huge. They're big. And I think that those are some things that can kind of maybe trigger. But again, go back to that whole thing. And I think a bit of this is our tone of voice. Man, we've been around the ball field. We know what it's like when the coach just chews you up down one side or the other because you didn't block, or you didn't run that ball, or you fumbled the ball, or you missed the baseball, or whatever those things are, you got chewed up. And we tend to take some of those things we've learned, and this is how we respond with that kind of tone of voice. And then again, I think what we got to look at is, hey, babe, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. Proverbs 15:1. A harsh word stirs up anger, but a gentle answer turns away wrath. Okay. So tone of voice and how you do it, but wounds, all that. Does that make sense, Eric?
Oh, makes perfect sense, man. This is something I wrote down, Kenny, when you was talking. And I don't know if this makes sense or not, man, but it makes sense to me. There's a lot of stuff that makes sense in my head that don't make sense to nobody. That's what I wrote down. I said, what's been left in your emotional inventory may be used for Satan's glory, but when you bring it to the light, it will give God glory. When we leave those emotions, those emotion or hurt in there, man. God, Satan's using that for his glory because he's the one that brings it back up and uses it to fuel these other things. But, man, when we're willing to do an inventory, right, and check it all out and bring it to the light and let the Holy Spirit bring those things up, then in time, God can use that for his glory. So,
absolutely.
Man, what a great thought is to do an emotional inventory. Going back, like you said, to childhood and think about we're going back to what's that core? What's really causing this? Because there's something there that's causing it. And, man, Satan keeps using it like a thorn in the flesh, man. He just jams that thing in. And like you said, I like to think about – I've used kind of the same analogy. You call it, you know, putting on the bulletproof vest, man. I've said that Under Armour, right? That Under Armour, what we need under the armor that God's got on us to making sure, you know, doing that inventory to make sure, man, because, you know, hey, guess what? In armor, and I want y'all to hear me, man, because I'm not saying that God's got gaps in his armor, but let's just say God never anywhere says there's nothing that covers the back. And if you go look at any suit of armor, there's always some seams, right, where the enemy could hit a dart in, and that's where we got to make, you know, that's the importance of the shield of faith and that we got there. But there, let's just be honest, Kenny. Eric sometimes gets up during the day, and I may suit up the rest of everything, but I leave my shield of faith at home. So it's leaving me wide open for the enemy to hit those things.
Right.
That's where that spiritual inventory, that Under Armour, that bulletproof vest to make sure I'm overly protected. But yeah, man, so great advice to, you know, get to the core of it, do some inventory. Now, I'll say this, Kenny, because I know a lot of guys, you know, I don't know about that. It sucks sometimes to do some inventory, because guess what? Sometimes when you're digging back into some hurt past, it's going to hurt digging back into it. But that's where you need some accountability. You need another guy to share that with. Don't do it on your own, because what the enemy will do is like, yeah, that sucks. So I'm going to shove it back even further back in there, thinking if I shove it far enough back in the dark, I ain't got to worry about it. And guess what? The enemy's going to do. He goes, I'm glad you put it there, because he knows exactly where it's at, sir. So I may bring it to the light. Bring it to the light.
Well, and you saying that, Brent, brings to me James 5:16. And this has been something I've really kind of hung on to for the last probably 10 years. And this is where a male relationship with another man that just, man, loves them with all their heart, soul, man. This is Jonathan, you know, David kind of relationship. But, man, listen, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be what? And it says healed. Too many wounded men. That's what I'm saying. Wounds. Too many wounded men out there. Because the prayer of a righteous person, what avails much, is powerful in its effect. It says confess them and then pray. You confess. It may not be that you're confessing, like I sinned against you. Let's pray so be healed. It may be that, hey, it's that wound back there that I'm digging up. Man, it hurts and it does suck. It's painful. Okay, it hurts. Yeah. Man, I don't like it. But I'm bringing this up and I'm confessing it. And then we're praying about it. And because of those two things, God's doing a work that we may be healed.
Amen.
Too many wounded men walking around with that. That's why I say wounds need to be taken care of. And then there are seams. There is that back that's exposed, because on that armor, you're supposed to go to the battle. You're charging. You're charging forward. There's no retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then you got people in your midst, right, that still got that back exposed a little bit. But man, just confess, pray, heal.
Yep. And that's why man, there's a military term, you know, I got your six. What's that mean? That's the reason we need brothers. That's the reason we need accountability. So those moments where I may slightly turn my back towards the enemy, I got my brother that's got my six. He's got my back. So the importance, once again, I mean, we preach this all day long, a brotherhood. Accountability, true biblical brotherhood, man. That's a guy that loves you, that loves your family, and that wants the best for you, that's going to help you move spiritually towards Jesus, is the guys that you need in your life. Man, that's right. so much good stuff, Kenny. So, man,
I'll say this one thing. So one thing that in my 18-month journey, one thing that I realize, okay, so I'm going to be honest, transparent. So two things trigger me, okay? Two things triggered me. One was when I got talked down to because I was like somebody stupid, dumb, okay? Yeah. Not that anybody ever has talked to you or any of the other man listening on this podcast this way. I'm sure nobody's ever talked to them like they're dumb, right? Okay, that was a trigger. Okay, number two was that was probably one of the bigger ones. I had about two or three others, and I'll just kind of, but there's one of them. So what is it, man, in your life that really just pops you really quick? That's the trigger. And then what you got to do is go, okay, that's a trigger. My response to my bride or the response to my kids does not need to be that way. It needs to look like Christ. So what do I need to do when I hear that and I'm going to respond to that? What do I need to do? Maybe it's that verse. Maybe go back to yours. I'm slow to anger. Maybe it's count to 10. Or realize that, hey, listen, okay, yes, I'm educated. Sometimes I just don't make great decisions. I mean, I'm not perfect, right? But yes, I am educated, and they're not talking to me that way. That's how I'm receiving it. They're really not talking that way. Enemy is trying to get it all stirred up. So what can I do to help? But man, there's like three triggers, right? And so what is it? And how do you handle those triggers? That'll set you up for, I think, success down the road, because you'll understand in your toolbox how to handle it better. I did immerse myself with scripture. I try to claim that stuff to understand, okay, when I get in a situation, it is a gentle answer, okay? It is taking a deep breath, counting to 10, okay? When I'm getting ready to respond real quickly, I'm going to count to 10, and then I'm going to do this. Or even if it's in a marital relationship, babe, I got to take about 10 minutes. Let me go walk over here and kind of go outside, walking, and then come back in. There's just things in my anger. How do I do this so that way I can say, God, you gave the emotion to me. It's not a sin. It's just how I respond in it and what I do with it. So now, thank you for giving me the tools to help me deal with it better, and the fact that the Spirit's doing a work in my life. But if you're oblivious to all that, you'll wreck your life. Yeah. You'll wreck your marriage, your kids. You'll inadvertently, I'll say this, man, whoever's listening on this podcast, hey, let me say this to you. Trust me, if you don't deal with it, you're going to pass on some wounds to your kids that they're going to have the rest of their life. And I know you don't wake up every day going, well, I can't wait to make them mad. I can't, oh, no, or hurt them. No, because what you do, if you don't deal with it at some point in time, you will give them some wounds that you never intended to do. And then you'll have to look in the mirror at some point and have to deal with it.
Yeah, man, so good, Kenny. Once again, everything you're saying, man, what we talked about a while ago, slowing it down, put some steps in, slow down. Great wisdom on hey, take a walk outside. Go walk around the yard for 10 minutes. Before you respond. I know one of my things as a pastor, especially when I get an email or I get a text, that is something that my first reaction is, oh, I'll show them. My first reaction, that's my first reaction. But, man, I put a rule in place for myself in those situations. And it may be for you, sir, with a work situation. Man, I give it 24 hours before I respond. Because I don't want to respond to my emotion. I want to pray about it. I want to say, God, how do you want me to respond? And 99% of the time, I respond differently tomorrow than I would have today if I would let myself respond to that email, send that text back. I don't even respond, hey, give me a minute to think about it. I don't respond at all, because I know that could open up a door for me to. But man, I know they are those moments like Kenny's talking about, when you're there with your bride, when you're there with your kids, where you need to respond within the next few minutes. But that just starting to tap the brake, man. Hey, it's a semi. I picture it like this. It's a semi truck full of gasoline headed towards your child. Man, don't just let off the gas. Hit that jake brake. Start slowing that baby down, Start slow it down and take that time. So some great advice, Kenny. Right there for these guys to do that. So guys, y'all know, as always, our leadership team, we're available. through the band app, through access to our website. Kenny's over there on the band as well, so I know you can reach out to him there. But man, Kenny, any last words of wisdom or any other things you want, man? No hurry or anything, but if there's any other thing you'd like to share with these guys that through your process, through everything you've seen, what you see now looking back, that you would share with these guys, just any other nuggets of wisdom that may can help encourage these guys to, hey, if you're struggling with this, let's move forward. Just any last words from Kenny to all the men listening.
Man, I'll just say, get a hold of it now. Like yesterday, right? I mean, this is like, if somebody's mentioned something to you about your anger, they recognize it and you've not dealt with it, I'm going to say, hey, today, take care of it. Because it unhealthy wise, in a sinful way, you're not living like Christ. And so you want to be a godly man and you want to build a good godly foundation. This is one of those things. How do you need to navigate your life going forward? Because you don't want to derail it down the road because you decided just to not deal with it. I would say that needed to be dealt with yesterday. I wish if I had to do it over again, I would have gone back those 5, 6, 7, 8 years prior to that, or even 10 years before, and dealt with it. And then I could have saved a lot of stuff in my own life and family life, yeah, just because of my lack of attention to it, right, and dealing with it. So yeah, do it today.
Great words. And this is what I'll say, sir. If you're hearing mine and Kenny's voices right now, that's God put you in this place. He ordained this moment for you to hear this podcast, for you to do something about it today. Don't procrastinate, because when you do that, you're giving the devil an opportunity to destroy something in your life, to destroy something in your family's life. Because what's he out to do? He's got one goal, and that is destruction, and that is to kill and destroy. So do something about it. Great word. So I'll leave you guys with one verse, and then we'll kind of wrap it up for today. Proverbs 16:32 says this: patience is better than power, and controlling one's emotions than capturing a city. You talk about some power, man, when you start being able to control this emotion, especially this one of anger. And we're going to be looking at some more throughout the rest of the month. But I believe we started off with anger because it's one that a lot of men deal with. But do something about it, as Kenny said, do something about it today. Start
that verse today. That verse you just said is really good. Coming off the heels of Easter, Jesus in front of Pilate, and he opened not his mouth.
Yeah.
Talk about power. Man, he could have done a lot of different things. Man, he opened not his mouth.
Great tie-in right there. Well, Kenny, brother, man, I love you. Love you so much. So thankful. Hopefully get to see you here in a couple weeks. I think you're coming up this way. Hopefully our schedules will align so I can grab some coffee or breakfast or something with you in a couple weeks. But man, thank you so much for taking a little time out of your day to jump on here with me and record this. I really believe it's going to be a help to a lot of men in days to come. And man, guys, if it's been a help to you, please share this podcast. If it's on YouTube or whatever podcast platform, share that with some other guys, because the more that we get it out there, the more guys we can impact for the kingdom. This is about kingdom. Right. We're not here to build castles. We're here to build kingdom work. So man, share it. Hey, if you're listening on Spotify, or you're listening on iTunes, hey, leave us a rating and review, because the more we get that, those algorithms, it helps us get out from where men are looking for podcasts like ours. It helps put us in front of them. Like I said, it's nothing to glorify us. It's just the way the systems work. The more reviews and the more likes we get, the more that those platforms will put us in front of other men. So thank you so much, Kenny, for being here. Thank you guys for tuning in. Of course, don't forget, you can catch all of our resources, movministries.org. Be sure to come check us out over on the band app. Join that community. We're almost at 400 men on our digital community right now. We'd love for you to come connect with us there. Of course, podcast drops every Thursday. Be sure to subscribe so, man, you don't miss anything. Our YouTube channel, we'll be dropping that every Saturday. And then so much more content. Our Man Up Mondays are all there. And then, man, you can go back and check past content from our past conferences. And once again, we hope to see you this August 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 2024. If that's when you're watching this, go ahead. Like Kenny said, go get registered. Go ahead and buy that ticket. Go ahead and make plans to be there. And, man, we cannot wait to see you guys there. So Guys, we love you so much. Once again, thank you for joining us. Hey, keep fighting, win today. And as always, let's go light it up for the King. God bless. We'll see you soon.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode and that you will continue to join us on this journey to make disciples of men. Be sure to check out our social media outlets as well as movministries.org for any information. And be sure to join our digital men's community.
Hey guys, we wanted to let you know that Men of Valor podcast is proud to partner and be a part of the Recovering Fundamentalist podcast network. You can find their podcast and many other great podcasts by going to rfpnetwork.org. We would love for you to go and check them out as well. Hey, keep fighting, win today, and as always, go light it up for the King.